We're continuing our studies in the book of Romans. And I want to read Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 11 this morning and consider some thoughts. We'll probably do a bit of reviewing. But Paul says, wants us to know that God will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Of the Jew first, and also of the Greek, or the Gentile. But honor, or glory, and honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. This passage of Scripture is, to me, a very significant passage of Scripture, in that it helps us to see that our concept of eternal life may be wrong. I know my concept of eternal life. When I was younger, I associated eternal life with salvation. And I knew that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and I knew I couldn't work for my salvation. But when I read this verse of Scripture, I'm encouraged to continue in well-doing, because I'm seeking what? Eternal life. Life for the age. In fact, the word eternal is not a very happy translation of a Greek word that means age. In fact, unfortunately, the King James translators translated the word age, the Greek word age, out of the Latin Vulgate, which they translated into eternal. I'm not very good at pronouncing Latin words, so I'm not going to try to do that, but what they did is they took the word eternal out of the Latin Vulgate and put it right in this translation. And that's unfortunate. But anyway, that's what we have. That's why we have Bible study helps. We may not have a computer, but we have a concordance. A Strong's concordance works beautifully. You just have to work harder to use it. But you know what? That's all I had for a while. And it worked. In fact, I got my first Strong's Concordance I ordered it in 1950. No, let's see, when was it? I guess it was in, while I was in Malta. The chaplain there in Malta encouraged me to get one of those. He was a Baptist fella, he was a good Bible teacher, and did something very unusual in the chapel. On the base, he offered invitations for sailors to be saved in the services in the chapel. And the only reason he could do that is because the captain of the base was a believer. And, you know, he was the boss, and what he said went. And it was really interesting. I sang in the choir a little bit while I was there, and the captain, a four-striper, and here I am, a second-class petty officer. We sang in the bass section of the choir. In fact, the two of us were the bass section of the choir. But anyway, he ordered me my first concordance, and I got it when I got back to the States. So the Strong's Concordance was my first start. But you use these helps to help us to understand the meaning of words. It's one of the things that I learned early on. In fact, I was going to another body of believers while I was in Malta called the Brethren. And they met at the Gospel Hall. And the man, I think I told you last Sunday, the man was able to preach in 9 languages. Brilliant British intelligence officer. He did have to read Russian. He couldn't preach Russian off the cuff. But I wouldn't hold that against him. But anyway, he could read Greek and Hebrew better than I could read English. And he gave me my first interlinear Greek New Testament. So the Lord was beginning to touch my heart with the desire to learn the meaning of words. And if we don't know the meaning of words, it's hard for us to understand what is being written in the sentence. And if we don't understand the sentence, we sure can't understand the paragraph, etc., and it goes on from there. So I'd like to look at a few of the words in these verses that we read. It says, who will render? The word render is also translated reward or to pay. To every man according to his deeds. That word there means is also translated work. So we're talking about rewards, and we're talking about work for rewards. Rewards are given on the basis of performance. And let me say this, there are two types of rewards. There are good ones, and there are bad ones. And we need to appreciate it. And it's in the next verse, to them who by patient continuous and well-doing are the ones that are going to get glory and honor, not immortality. The word immortality would be better translated incorruption, because everybody is immortal. Everybody's going to live somewhere. And the question is, where? Where are you? Will you be in the lake of fire because you rejected Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? In other words, you will be immortal. But you, incorruption is in that situation has no bearing on your future. But here we're talking about incorruption. And it says here that, and the word seek is interesting. It's a participle, and it's in the present tense. And the reason why we want to know why it's in the present tense is this is something that I need to be doing once. No, all the time. When Paul told the Philippian jailer how to be saved, he used a different verb. Believe, aorist. And if it had been in the present, it would have meant that as long as we believed, we'd be saved. But he didn't use, he used the aorist tense. Here it says, we are to be seeking for glory and honor and incorruption, and you're going to get life for the age. This word eternal is the word age, and what you're going to get is rewards. That's what we're talking. This is what this is talking about. Rewards are pay for service. But unto them that are contentious. And this word contentious is actually two Greek words. It's out from strife. Being, in other words, you're being stiff-necked. You're being being obnoxious to God and being, just contentious. I think all of us have had a little streak of contention in our life. So we kind of know what it means to be contentious and contrary to others at times. And being contentious is going to produce disobedience. And do not obey the truth. And by the way, this word obey is in the present tense. Do we only have to obey occasionally? No, we need to obey all the time, don't we? That's the reason why God used, God wrote this book, and He wrote the whole Bible, but it's in the present tense. It's something that we need to be doing all the time. Because if we're disobedient, then we're in trouble. I know that I experienced that as an object lesson. Didn't have to learn it in the Bible. I experienced that at home when I was a kid. I was disobedient. I was in trouble, and I knew it. And we need to do the same. We need to relate the same way, because you know what? We're in the family of God, and God helps us to understand how things are going to be in our earthly family by using our earthly family. So. These that are contentious do not obey the truth, but they obey present active unrighteousness. This word unrighteousness, unjustness. To be unjust is to be disobedient. That's what to be just is to be obedient. To be unjust is to be disobedient. Now, what is the reward for this kind of behavior? Well, the word indignation is an interesting word. It means, it's translated fierce. It comes from a word, a Greek word, meaning hard breathing. You know what that means? God has really been out of shape over what you're doing. And he, you know, he's saying, "Now, come on." You know, hard breathing. And it has to do with anger. In fact, the word wrath is the next word. If we are disobedient, we can expect judgment. This word wrath is vengeance, punishment, tribulation, that's affliction and anguish. It's translated that way. And the word anguish in the next word is not the same word as tribulation, but the next word is narrowness of room, distress. You become disobedient, part of your consequences is going to be living in a narrow room. No freedom, restricted. And then it goes on, upon every soul of man that doeth, present tense, evil. Now this, I like this because the word present tense tells us that we're doing it all the time. If you're practicing evil all the time, you can expect the judgment of God on your life. Now this doesn't mean that if you do something wrong for a day or two, and you know it's wrong, and you know that you need to get things right with you and the Lord, and you come and confess it, that's when you have judged yourself while you're in the way, and that's taken care of. You don't have to worry about that. But when you continually live in sin, you're rebellious. You're contentious. In fact, you are doing what is known as a presumptuous sin. You're sinning in such a way that you're telling God, "I have the right to do this. Leave me alone." You know what? We can do that. There was a guy in the Old Testament did that. He had a firewood business. I guess that's what you could call it. He was picking up sticks on the Sabbath. You remember the story in Numbers? He's picking up sticks on the Sabbath. Here's a Jew out there working on the Sabbath. That's bad. The Lord says you've got to keep the seventh day holy. Now that, by the way, let me just say this. The Sabbath, the law of the Sabbath is for the Jew only, not the Gentile. And what is very interesting, and we won't go into this this morning, but in the picture of Joshua and the nation of Israel conquesting the land of Canaan, they didn't keep the Sabbath while they were there. While they were fighting the principalities and powers in earthly places as we do heavenly places, the Sabbath was set aside. And the reason I know that is because the children of Israel walked around Jerusalem how many times? Seven times. Does that mean they broke the Sabbath? Absolutely they broke the Sabbath, because they didn't keep it on the seventh. Because what were they supposed to do on the seventh? Rest. And here they were out there marching, getting ready to fight. In fact, they did. They attacked on the seventh day. But anyway, let's continue. And by the way, it's in the middle voice, and that is significant too. You translate the middle voice for myself. I'm doing these for myself. This is my decision. I'm doing this for myself. Of the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Just remember this, the Jew got the burden of the truth because they were the ones through whom God brought us the Word of God, or the Scriptures as well. And so therefore, they have greater judgment upon them because of the amount of knowledge that they have. By the way, the more knowledge you have, the shorter the fuse. Remember that? The children of Israel sinned 10 times. And then they were denied entrance into the land flowing with milk and honey. How many times did Moses sin? Once. and he was disqualified from entering the land flowing with milk and honey. And by the way, they didn't lose their salvation. If they did, Moses lost his salvation, and I don't know what he was doing on the Mount of Transfiguration, do you? Perishing in the wilderness was not losing your salvation. These were saved people being denied rewards of a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay? Now, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh. And this is the present middle. And this is not working for God. This is working for myself. I want the rewards. We're working for the Lord to bring honor and glory to Him. But we want rewards. We want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord. And so we are to be working all the time. And this word "work" here is to perform. It's also translated to perform, to toil, to labor for. Good. To the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. When it comes to performance and rewards, God's not going to show partiality. Just because the Jews were chosen and they were God's chosen people, they're not going to get preferential treatment when it comes to rewards. Okay? There's no preferential treatment involved. Now, I included James chapter 3 verses 14 through 16 so you could see what contention and strife, how they work together. Because we ran into this in this passage in Romans chapter 2. In James chapter 3 verses 14 through 16 it says, "But if we have bitter envying and strife in our hearts, glory not. Lie not against the truth." You know what? You have bitterness, envying and strife in your heart, you're justifying yourself for behaving that way, and you're going to lie against the truth to justify your behavior. And so quit lying about the truth and abandon envying and strife, because this wisdom descendeth not from above. This isn't good counsel, okay? But is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And it's interesting, in my word processor, it sometimes wants to help you, and it says, "and devilish." I was thinking it had changed the word to devil, but it didn't. But anyway, "and devilish." But let's go on. "And for where envying and strife is, there is" what? "Confusion in every evil work." You do that, you're not going to enjoy your pay, your reward. In Matthew chapter 25, this just kind of gives you an example of what the pay will be, the results of the pay. And we're talking about servants of God and their work. And in Matthew 25:30, it says, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." In other words, when you read about anguish and tribulation and judgment and indignation, these are things that you're not going to like. Now, I'm not worried about where outer darkness is. You know what? God didn't tell us where it was. He wasn't interested in us knowing where it was. All He was interested in knowing that an unprofitable servant is going to weep and gnash his teeth for what he gets for his life work. He's not going to like it. That reminds me of the thought of, if I don't have insurance on my house and it burns to the ground, am I going to be out on the front yard clicking my heels together and say, "Man, what a fire. Broke." No, there's going to be sadness, disappointment. I can't rebuild this. I can't get anything back. And I think this is what we need to appreciate, the fact that when our works are burned up because it was done in the flesh, in the strength of the flesh, it was wood, hay, and stubble, we're not going to be rejoicing over seeing all that we did as a child of God go up in smoke. And so we just need to appreciate the fact that we're going to weep over things that we I thought we were doing okay, and we weren't. It didn't work. That's actually why the Lord gives us ample warning to make adjustments in our life so that we can escape disappointment at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25, it says, "Whatsoever you do, present active, do, present middle, do for myself, continuously, it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of" what? "The inheritance. For ye serve," present active, "the Lord Christ. But he that doeth," present active, "or practices wrong, shall receive for the wrong which he hath done." The servant in Matthew 25, received for the wrong which he hath done. He was placed in a, he was demoted. He was placed in a place that he didn't want to be. He didn't like it. And he could see what the other servants that were faithful got, and he missed it. Because he was afraid. Do you know what happens when we are afraid? We're not trusting the Lord. The two servants who were faithful trusted the Lord to add to their talents. This fellow was afraid. And so he buried his talent in the earth. He buried his talent in earthly things. He buried his responsibility in the earth. He had the, you know, he had what the Lord gave him, but that's not what, that wasn't good enough. It was not good enough. So, he's going to receive for the wrong which he had done, and there is no respect of persons. Now, I just included this passage, this Romans 15:4, to help us to appreciate that we learn from the Old Testament, New Testament truth. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So I'm going back over in the Old Testament to pick up some thoughts out of Ecclesiastes and Deuteronomy. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us, "Let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. We're to fear God and keep His commandments." You know what? That's the bottom line. That's the least you can do, is have a wholesome respect for God and find out what His commandments are. You can't keep them if you don't know them. So it requires investigation on our part. We need fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Either one, He's going to judge it. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, here's Moses talking to the children of Israel. He's actually talking to the children of the children. All mom and dads have all kicked the bucket. And here they are, the kids that came through the land. That when they left Egypt, they were 19 and younger. And here they are, mom and they're, now they're close to 60. Because they've been out in the wilderness trudging around with mom and dad because of what they did for 40 years. So if you were 19 when you left Egypt, here you are, what, 59. 40 years of just tooling, you know, just, well, they were learning things. Don't worry. You know, don't get me wrong. The Lord was teaching them things. You just read Deuteronomy 8. He says, "I took you out there to see whether or not you would like that manna I was giving you. Or you could handle those scorpions that bit you, or those snakes and so forth." But anyway, let's go on. So he's talking to the children that are getting ready to go into the land. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day, for thy good." Why does God teach us these things? It's for our good, for our profit. "We need to circumcise, therefore, the foreskins of our heart, and be no more stiff-necked." Mom and dad, they had a crick in their neck, a spiritual crick in their neck, and it was stiff. They were bucking the things of the Lord all the way. griping about water, griping about manna. Where is Moses? Over and over again. You know, God provided them water one time, and then when they didn't have water the second time, they were still complaining. But anyway, they were stiff-necked. For the Lord your God, is God of gods, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. You can't influence God's judgment. You don't make enough money. Neither do I. There's nothing, if you can gain the whole world, you still can't influence God's judgment upon your life. So we just need to appreciate the fact that God wants us to serve Him with all of our heart, heartily as unto the Lord. And He will provide something you're going to like a lot. And that thought of hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and entering to the joy of the Lord, you know what? I like that a lot. I don't think I'm going to be weeping and gnashing my teeth over that. I want that. I want approval. Now, in Romans 2:8, I remind ourselves, but unto them that are contentious, that is, have strife, and do not obey the truth, but they obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. So the Lord's going to reward us. And we need to appreciate the fact that we need to live in such a way that He will reward us well. In fact, in Matthew chapter 16, we see that the Lord is coming and His reward is with us in verse 27. I'll just read verse 27 so that you know where we're going. Okay? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. So you see the context here is saved people being rewarded for works or service. So when you read in verse 24, then Jesus said unto His saved disciples, if any man will come after me, you can't be saved and follow Jesus. Let him deny himself and let him take up his cross and follow me. But you know what? A disciple can refuse to follow the Lord. A saved person could refuse to it. The children of Israel the Old Testament are just full of saved people who refuse to follow the Lord. Okay? So what do we need to be doing? We need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, that is, the place where we die to self daily, and follow Him. For whosoever will save his life or his soul, because the soul is our living, I'm talking to you from my soul using my body to articulate what my soul is thinking and saying. In other words, my soul is communicating with you. Now I have a spirit, and the spirit does, my spirit, and it's not the Holy Spirit, is not communicating with you. My soul is. So when we're talking about my life, I'm talking about where I make decisions. This is where I make my decisions of whether I'm going to follow God or not. So whosoever will save his life, his soul, for himself shall lose it, or it will perish. That is his life. In other words, if I live for myself, I believe this is what this is teaching, because we're talking about rewards. But I believe this is teaching, if I do my own thing right now, I'm going to lose the life that I want to have in his coming kingdom. He will be Lord of lords and King of kings. And if I do my own thing, my own way, and not God's way, I'm going to lose something. And that has to do with my life in the coming kingdom, because that's what this is talking about, and it's talking about rewards. You know, what does pay allow us to do? It allows us to live on a certain plane or level, doesn't it? The more pay, the greater the comforts, and the greater the blessings, and that's the way it's going to be in the kingdom as well. But let's go on. And whosoever will lose his life, his soul, for himself, for my sake, is going to find it. That's future. He's going to find it. He's going to find it in the kingdom. Not now. In the kingdom. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world, that is, saving his life? When you're gaining the whole world, you're saving your life. You're doing your own thing. Jesus told the young rich ruler to sell all you have and give to the poor. For what reason? So if you're broke, you trust me. A rich man doesn't have to pray, give me this day my daily bread. All he has to do is go down and buy the bakery. You don't have to trust God. You're rich. And so what we need, if we gain the whole world and be rich, it's hard for us to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because you're going to lose your life. Because the word soul in this verse is the same word as life in verse 25. Same Greek word. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul or his life? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and He shall reward every man according to his works. If you're in the business of not trusting the Lord because you want the whole world and all the money that money can buy, and I'm not against having money, okay? Don't get me wrong. The Lord is, He pays. And He pays well. But He knows what can get us in trouble. And if we have a lot of money, we can have a hard time trusting Him. If we have a lot of money. But anyway, let's go on. Because one of the things that we need to appreciate is the fact that our works are going to be tried. And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I think what we need to do is to wind this up, because I see that our clock is about run out. I apologize. I'm used to going 4 hours at a time. We won't do that this morning. We're having too much fun. Anyway, we just need to appreciate that our works will be tried. They will be revealed by fire. In other words, if we produce wood, hay, and stubble, the works of the flesh, they'll burn up. If we produce gold and silver and precious stones, we're going to be rewarded. And if any man's work shall be burned, he will suffer loss. Suffer. Not enjoy loss, but to suffer loss. And so we're exhorted in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 to labor, that whether absent or present, we may be accepted of Him, because everyone's going to receive for the things done in his body, whether they be good or evil. And Paul says, knowing therefore the terror, actually the fear of the Lord, we persuade men in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and persuade men to do what? Not persuade men to get saved, but persuade men to continue to labor, that we may be accepted with Him when we see Him. So, I think it's interesting, first words and last words. In Revelation 22:12 is the last chapter of the Bible, and the Lord tells us, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his works. He doesn't want us to forget that. Last words are very important, because we remember them, don't we? Or we have a tendency to remember them. And His rewards are with Him. And because we know His rewards are with Him, we need to be careful that we don't cast away our confidence. Hebrews 10:35 and following. Which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And by the way, the promise, singular in number, is life for the age. 1 John 2:25. And then I'm going to close with 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is what? Not in vain. You're not wasting your time serving the Lord and honoring. You know, people say, I don't serve the Lord because I want a reward. You know what? I serve the Lord because that's what He told me to do. And He said He'd pay me if I do it. And why am I knocking Him and knocking His word because of that. I do love Him. I do serve Him because I love Him, but I also serve Him because I want to hear well done, and I want to enter into the joy of the Lord, and I want to rule over cities. He says, you've been faithful over a few, I'm going to make you ruler over much, and I want that. Because you know why? If I live that way, who gets the honor and glory? He gets the honor and glory, and I am profited by it. And I want to encourage all of us to continue steadfast, abounding in the work that God's given us to do. And you know what? It's not a waste of time. May the Lord help us to be a blessing to each other. And one of the things that I told them in Baltimore, you can't get any lower than this. You are a servant of a servant. You know who I'm serving? A bunch of servants. In the back of our house when I was a boy in Dallas, we had what is called servants' quarters. Did you know that? We had servants' quarters at my house when I was a boy. Now, we lived on a very small piece of property, 50 by 125 feet, which is not a, you know, you wouldn't think a piece of land that little would have servants' quarters on it. But you know what? I could not find the servants' quarters. Just weren't there. You don't normally see servants' quarters for servants. But you know what? That's the way we're supposed to be living. We are living, serving servants. And you know what? The Lord gets the honor and glory, and we get the blessings. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. And we pray, Lord, You'd help us to pick up on the thoughts that we've presented this morning about seeking life for the coming age, the millennial kingdom. We desire, Lord, to rule and reign with You and to stand in Your presence approved. And we know, Lord, that You pay well. You reward graciously and generously, and we thank You for it. We don't get what we deserve, and we thank You for that. And we just pray, Lord, that You would help us to focus on the things that are important to You. And we know, Lord, that You'll take care of the things that are important to us. Help us to seek first Your coming kingdom. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.